And welcome to the program, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation on Talk Radio 790 KABC. And, well, this is, as you know, the Millennial Free Zone, where you can receive your weekly dosage of insensitivity training. This is a place for people with common sense. Yes. Is that you? Good. And if you're a millennial, cover your ears because, well, you might get offended. Now, if you need a dose of this show, I always say this, visit our, please, bookmark this, our website, samnation.com, and follow me on Twitter, at samnationshow, and also my Instagram account, at samnation. Lots of good, funny stuff in there. So, check us out. Are you ever a regular at a place? Do you go to a place, to eat every day? How many of you actually have a place that you eat every day? Well, there's this guy in Salem, Oregon, and he has a place that he goes to regularly. And it so happens to be a fine dining establishment known as Domino's. And, well, so he's been eating there regularly for about 10 years. And I guess he skipped it for 11 days straight. And the good people over at Domino's were so concerned about this guy that they sent out a rescue party to see if he was okay. They sent an employee to his residence, sent out a delivery driver. And based on what that delivery driver saw there, he ended up calling 911. And the police say that they saved his life. Now, the police won't say what it was that this person was afflicted with. Now, his name is Kirk Alexander. Has been identified only as a regular customer at the Salem Domino's in question. He's 48 years old, and we don't know what it was that, but he had some life-threatening illness. In fact, it said that the Marin County Sheriff's Department said that he was suffering from medical problems that could have ended his life. But the deputies, or the spokesman rather, would not say what those medical conditions were. Well, here's an idea. If you're eating pizza every day, I'll take a stab at it. My greasy spork. What do you think it could be? Well, yeah, this is the first guy in the history of the world where eating pizza every day has saved his life. Actually, he didn't eat pizza every day. Robbie, he would mix up his order. I think this is kind of unusual, because I think when you get somebody who's such a creature of habit, they'll have a favorite thing that they'll order. No? So this guy apparently would order, well, they said that, so the cyber, this guy that's being quoted from the Domino's says that Mr. Alexander doesn't have a standard order, that he'll order pizza, pasta, sandwiches, and wings. Now, this is how out of touch I am. I had no idea that Domino's had such a varied menu. Did you? They have wings? They have pasta? You know, I realize I'm a right-wing elitist, but I would never buy pasta from a Domino's. At any rate, he never ordered the same thing every time, but my guess is none of this stuff qualifies as health food. Would Michelle Obama allow any of this food to be served in an elementary school cafeteria? The answer to that question is no. I rest my case. At any rate, Mr. Alexander can be very grateful that he has so many friends at his local Domino's. Now, I will tell you that there is this little controversy brewing about Facebook. Who's been following this? So Facebook It turns out Facebook has been playing a little bit dirty with filtering the news. What is this? What do I mean? Okay, so when you have your Facebook feed, you know you've got that feed, and it may shock you to learn that that feed is manipulated. And I don't mean that. I don't mean manipulated in necessarily a bad sense. They promote. There's an algorithm. There's a formula for what posts get shown at the top of your feed. And it's based on a number of factors, you know, things that interest you. You know, Facebook will look at the kind of people you follow and the kind of stuff you click on, and they know a lot about you. Yeah, so if you've got a strange proclivity, keep it as far away from Facebook as possible. You might start getting very interesting news stories thrown your way. What won't get thrown your way, let's say, for example, you're a GASP, a Trump supporter. I know, shocking words. So imagine you're a Trump supporter or whatever. Maybe you're a Cruz supporter. Now, normally in your feed, you would have news stories promoted that follow those themes. Stories about Trump, stories about Cruz. And you know, that's good business. Because what do you want when you're Facebook, the company, what do you want? You want eyeballs on your site, using your site, loading content, and also taking content. So you want people contributing content, but you also want people consuming it. And the product that you consume as a customer of Facebook is you look at their stuff. You look at you live and die by your news, by your feed. Now, I said newsfeed, and I don't think I'm alone. In fact, this is what's interesting about it. 63%, it's a lot. 63% of Americans do what? Well, 63% of American Facebook users think of Facebook as a news site. It's a place that they get their news. And now the allegation is that Facebook is filtering out conservative news. They're not promoting it. So if you're that Trump supporter or that Cruz supporter I was talking about, your chances of finding Trump stuff and Cruz stuff is actually a lot lower than if you were a Bernie supporter getting Bernie stuff. Think about that. Now, again, Facebook, look, my opinion is it's a private company, right? They get to, if they want to make money, they want eyeballs, right? They want people participating, using their site. So the way to keep somebody who likes Ted Cruz engaged is to show them a lot of stuff about Ted Cruz. You're really not going to win over that person getting a bunch of Bernie Sanders stories promoted up. And so Gizmodo, this website, kind of a tech news website, breaks the story. And I guess somebody inside the team that builds the Facebook algorithm is spilling the beans on all of this. And there apparently is a political correctness test, an ideological correctness test that is built into the Facebook algorithm. So does that piss you off? Nobody, if you're shocked, I don't know what to tell you. I'm not the least bit surprised by this. That's an important point. It's not just built into the algorithm. It's actually done manually. They have teams of people that will deselect news stories that begin to trend naturally, because you know that little squiggly line that you see in your feed, it says trending now. Well, and that's really powerful. That's something that drives, you know, viewership. And they apparently, that's right. They deselect those news stories. They hide them. It's kind of like getting a newspaper. And the newspaper has all the news of the day. But before you get the newspaper, somebody has taken some scissors, okay, and has cut out all the news stories about conservatives. Then they hand you the paper. This is basically what, you know, my dad and my mom dealt with when they were kids growing up in Eastern Europe under communism. But there is a difference. There is a difference. And this is what just peeves me so much about this, because now there's these, the Congress is holding hearings. Congress is holding hearings. Oh my goodness, you know, the end of the world. You know, Facebook's a private company. It's very different when the IRS goes after you because you're a conservative group and they want to bully you into basically losing your tax exempt status, being fearful of getting prosecuted, because, you know, the IRS certainly is not somebody you want to hear from in any investigative capacity. And so, but that's a government agency. That's the government coming after you. And here you've got a private company. So, you know, my takeaway from this is, you know, screw Facebook. I'm not going to go on. If they want to push Sam Nation posts to the bottom of the pile, so be it. And, you know, what you and I know we need to do is, if we want to see that post that matters to us, we go directly to the source. You go straight to our Sam Nation show site and you look it all up there. It's going to be there. It's just not going to be under trending, even if we might have something, might break something that's really hot. And that's, you just, people adapt to it. And I think, if anything, it's at Facebook's expense. And it's not something that we should be spending, wasting tax dollars on figuring out. No. So what hasn't Facebook hidden, deselected? I'm going to tell you about Jeb Bush's Facebook page, and you've got to listen. It's not even what he writes. It's the comments that people are leaving there. Back right after this. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC. Oh my gosh, did you hear? Can Romney just please shut up? Can he please? This is nonsense. So Romney gets out there and he's blabbing about Trump's tax returns. Okay, you know, I think the quote was, if Trump can't release his tax returns, it ought to automatically disqualify him. And, you know, I think it was the night before that he's on Greta Van Susteren on Fox News. And Greta, you know, Greta's a lawyer and she's by no means an ideologue. She's talking to Trump. And she goes, yeah, well, look, you're under audit. If I were your lawyer, I wouldn't recommend you turn over your tax returns. No way. Don't release them. So since when are you an authority on something when you lose it? For example, look, let's say you've got a plan to start a fast food joint. Okay. Who do you go to? Do you go to maybe, I don't know, do you go to the CEO of McDonald's that presided over it growing from a 30% market share to a 70% market share? Or do you go to the CEO of some chain that went bust? Look, Mitt is the CEO of a failed presidential bid. A failed presidential bid, as I've said before on this program, that he could have, should have won. So can he please sit down and shut up? I understand that I get it. He doesn't like Trump. The two could not be more different people. And Mitt Romney, I got to tell you, he's a good guy. He's a good guy, and a fair disclosure. I'll get into it. But I like Mitt Romney, but he needs to stay out of this. And the list, by the way, Mitt is not alone. There's an odd chorus, right, of all these Republicans that are debating on whether they're going to, well, look, there's people that will never support Trump. But then there's this, I don't know, there's this tepid middle ground of a bunch of nimby-pimby politicians who they honestly need a dose of Sam Nation. That's what they need. They need to get in the splash zone. So common sense, right? So this is where I'm lost. All these guys are getting up there saying, well, I need more time. You know, before Thursday's meeting, What did Paul Ryan say? Paul Ryan, he gets up there and he says, well, you know, I'm just not, well, his quote was, I'm just not ready to do that, meaning support Trump, at this point. I'm not there right now. Now, where are you? Where have you been? The dude has won 10 million, 11 million votes in the Republican primary and swept, I don't know how many states, won 40 states, is that right? Where do you need to be? I'll tell you what, you're growing under some, it's like fungus growing under some dark rock somewhere. It's moist and dark. And that's where these guys are. So anyway, Trump's retort to this, of course, was classic. Let me read this. This from his Twitter account. Well, I am not ready to support Speaker Ryan's agenda. Perhaps in the future, we can work together and come to an agreement about what is best for the American people. They have been treated so badly for so long that it is about time for politicians to put them first. Zing! Okay? Because, you know, Trump's right. You know, when you're a speaker, and like Ryan, he just barely, I think he's just barely finished redecorating his office, okay? We got Boehner's office, and Boehner was a notorious smoker. I don't know if you know this. You know that Boehner was a giant chain smoker? And that when he moved out of, the Speaker of the House, I'll tell you this, the Speaker of the House has some incredible office space. His office is right off the rotunda in the Capitol, and it is some of the most august, glitzy, fabulous, whatever you want to call it, office space in all of Washington, D.C. And because the rules that politicians pass, enact, affect only us little people, they never affect them, Speaker Boehner smoked like a chimney in his office for I don't know how many years, and they had to get... You know, they had to do an environmental cleanup when he moved out. They're probably scraping, you know, layers of tar and nicotine off all the frescoes in that. It's crazy. Anyway, so like I'm saying, I think there's still a very slight cigarette smell in that office. And here Ryan is saying, you know, I'm not ready to support Trump. And then he hedges it. I think I like the hedge anymore. He goes, well, I don't really know the guy. What? Sorry, what? You don't really... Oh, so in order to support the candidate, the Republican Party candidate, the nominee, you have to know him? I'm baffled. You know, Obama's been in office for 8 years. We still don't know who he is. We certainly didn't in 2008. I have to know him. Absurd. So at any rate, that's some of the ridiculousness. Who else? Lindsey Graham. Do you even know? Doesn't matter. Mitt Romney, of course. John McCain. Although Trump has said some nice things about McCain recently. How about Jeb? Oh, we talked about it a little bit last week, didn't we? So Jeb drew the line in the sand, and he put on his Facebook post. Facebook didn't cut it because I had it. It showed up in my feed, and this is where I noticed it. I don't know. Nobody's written about this. Nobody's had made hay of it. So you're coming here and you're hearing this first here on the program. So Bush writes this long post. By the way, when you see a long post on Facebook, what's your first reaction? He goes, oh, God, right? I mean, just, oh, God, shut up. Yeah, narcissist. You know, Facebook is really, the whole internet was created for people with short attention spans. What are you talking about? Yeah, so you know, Twitter's the most genius thing in the world. You know, limit that thing to 140 characters. Well, anyway, so Facebook ought to have the same thing anyway. So it's a giant long post. I'm not going to bore you people with it. It's terrible. But the gist of it is I just cannot I cannot support Donald Trump. I cannot support Donald Trump. And my reaction to it, was outrage, because didn't he and all of his buddies up there, when there were 16 dudes vying for the nomination, didn't they all get up and gang up on Trump and insist that Trump sign that ridiculous oath, that loyalty pledge? And the pledge was all about, they all were looking at Trump going, this dude has no hope in prayer of winning the Republican nomination, and we want to block him from running third party. Recognizing, of course, that Trump running third party would be virtual doomsday to the Republican nominee. Well, things worked out a little bit differently, didn't they, Jeb? So now Jeb dropped out, I think somewhere, you know, was one of the middle, surprisingly early on for what his aspirations were. And here Trump comes into the finale as the standard bearer and nominee, likely nominee. And now Sour Apples Jeb is complaining about how, well, he's reneging. I mean, you don't do that. Whatever. You do it, apparently. He's a politician. Of course he's going to do it. So, okay. Here are just some of the things that people, you read the comments, and there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of comments that people have left Jeb. And these are people who are mostly people who follow his page, who have liked his page and are his fans. This one guy named Jason writes, Jeb, I waited for you to run for president since I was in college. I am 33 now. You were my choice, then Rubio. However, Trump is our candidate. We must coalesce around him as a party. If Hillary is elected, then we could lose the Supreme Court. He goes on to make his case. Now, what else? Clayta, some gal, writes, You self-serving elitist. You must put personal differences aside and understand the gravity of a Hillary Clinton win. The Supreme Court appointments, and goes on. A guy named Mike. Jeb, this is the exact type of Americans are idiots for not knowing what the Bush family Republican establishment elites believe is best for them. That part was in quotes. And I added a dramatic effect. And this is why I, says Mike, and many other grassroots level folks I know, gave up on you early. Be a man and suck it up. Crybabies and temper tantrums are what's undignified. And it goes on and on and on. If I had a rank, I mean, it was like 99 to 1. So this is not a question here about Trump getting on board with the establishment. These guys here, Ryan and Trump, And Jeb and all these other clowns, they are the ones that need to get on board with Trump, because he's got legitimacy. And this is why we have democratic elections. This is why we, and this is why, well, so this is why we have some problems right over with Hillary. And I'll tell you why, and I bet you don't know, she lost her last race big time to Bernie, but I bet you don't know how many delegates she walked away with. Bet you'll be surprised by that number. Back after this, Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. So all these Republican politicians that we were just talking about that can't support Trump, some of them, the lukewarm ones, you know, the ones that are kind of on the fence, they're apparently all about supporting the nominee. But they can't even pronounce, they can't even enunciate the name Trump. It won't leave their lips. I'll give you an example of this. So Nikki Haley, and she came out, there's a governor South Carolina, and she came out pretty strongly against Trump. In fact, during Obama's last State of the Union, I think you'll remember she delivered the Republican rebuttal. And in it, which is absurd, right? In it, she's rebuking Trump more than she's rebuking Obama. Out of touch, Nikki? Anyone? Well, anyway, so she says, well, I think her spokesperson says, we will support the Republican nominee, but won't even say that it's Trump. And this is after Trump. I mean, Trump's just 100 delegates away from locking this up fair and square. It's pretty obvious he's the last man standing. I don't get it. It's odd. So, well, I'll tell you what I do get and what I'm not afraid to name. And that's Sweet James. Now, James Bergner, if you or a loved one have had any kind of injury or suffered any kind of accident and have questions, need help, you've got to talk to Sweet James. He's an attorney who does nothing but representing injured persons and their families. And he does an excellent job of this. Not only is he caring, not only will he listen to you, okay, but he's also aggressive when it comes to fighting for your rights against the other side. You know, these insurance companies, they're about as tone deaf as some of these politicians are. I'm not kidding. I mean, if you think you're going to go to them with your case, with your problem and palms up and say, hey, I want to be fair with you and just be fair with me. It's never going to happen. Anything you say will be used against you. Anything you tell them, any information you give them, they're just going to turn it around on you. And that's, you know, and that's the kind of thing that you've got to know. You've just got to know that. So instead of talking to somebody who doesn't have your best interest at heart, talk to someone that does instead. And that guy is one and only attorney James Bergner. His friends call him Sweet James. And there's a reason for that, because he's the guy that cares. Now, call him anytime, 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit www.sweetjames.com. All right. I'll tell you, all this nonsense here on the Republican side is really nothing. It's really nothing. Remember that. It's a circus because the media wants to talk about it. It's all going to sort itself out. And one thing that they're trying desperately, especially the folks we're talking about Facebook and how they edit out information, hide conservative news stories. Well, you know, come on. ABC News has been doing that since day one, right? This is CBS Walter Cronkite all over again. And I'll tell you, this is Hillary. I want to talk about Hillary for a minute. Did you hear about West Virginia? So Bernie wins 51% of the vote. 51% of the vote. And just to give you a little flashback, remember when Trump wasn't winning 50% of the vote? Well, you know, I mean, all the media would as well. You know, he doesn't even have a majority support among Republicans. He's not even breaking the 50% barrier. Okay. Well, here Bernie has regularly been breaking through the 50% barrier. I mean, certainly implies some degree of legitimacy by that standard that you talked about earlier with Trump. So, and it's not just 51%. Hillary got 36. Boy, that's like a little slightly more than a third only of the vote. So, and it's, you know, it's significant. A little bit of reference for you. In 2008, when Hillary ran against Obama in West Virginia, she got 67%. She beat Obama. Well, how does this math all come together? I mean, why does Hillary have this locked up? Because this isn't just one race. I mean, we've seen this over and over again. I mean, she's lost all but one of the last six races. She's on a losing streak. So now it's all about the delegate math. And the delegate math, this race is cooked for Hillary. Guess how many delegates Hillary got? She got 19. No, excuse me, 11. 11 delegates. Bernie got 18, and that's the pledged delegates. Unpledged, Bernie gets 19, and Hillary gets 17. So let's just do some quick math here. Seven, what's that? Oh, yeah, so sorry, I've got it wrong here. The unpledged, what I just read here, producer Robbie in my ear correcting me, the unpledged is the total. So with the pledged and unpledged together, Bernie got 19 and Hillary got 17. Think about that. She got 36% of the vote and she ends up with just two delegates shy of the guy that won by 51%. That's crazy. So it gives you some kind of a glimpse into what's going on in the Democratic Party. They've got this thing, and the delta between the winner and loser is made up in these unbound delegates. And the unbound delegates are party operators, and this is the smoke-filled rooms. And I'm not necessarily talking about John Boehner's office. I was talking about that earlier, how he, a major smoker, smoked up his whole office. But, yeah, but he's, these are not, this is not... These unbound delegates are really the ones deciding the Democratic primary. And so crazy Bernie's out there shouting, waving his arms all he wants, but he's miles behind Hillary in the delegate race. And, you know, there's other examples of this. You know, I think, what was it, virtual tie they came to in Iowa. Clinton wins, what is it, by less than a percentage point, 0.3%. And she gets 30 delegates to Bernie's 21. I mean, so, okay. All right. And you know, and the why is this? So Hillary's smart. She's smart and she's been around and she's made friends with all the right people. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, crazy, frizzy-haired lady who happens to be the DNC chair. Guess what? She was Hillary's campaign co-chair in 2008. Think that's a little bit cozy? Sure. Now, I'll tell you what I think. I'm telling you, Hillary has got more tricks up her sleeve than you and I even realize. First of all, you know this whole thing with her throat? And a lot of hay is being made about her being sick and that kind of thing. So there's a theory, okay? That, I mean, well, she's throwing out all sorts of tricks. Did you hear about the UFO thing, Robbie? Yeah, you know that Hillary supports UFOs? Well, you think that's from an Onion article, right? It's not. The New York Times, talking about how she made some campaign stop. When she's talking on Jimmy Kimmel, right? And she's on the Jimmy Kimmel program, and she says that she would support funding for UFO research. I don't know, but knowing Hillary and how tightly choreographed her race is, somehow somebody somewhere figured out that she needs to pander to the UFO crowd. And they call the Republican Party nuts. I mean, they need the tin hat vote. Anyway, to my theory, Bill, how sick does he look? I mean, are you kidding? You remember vibrant Bill Clinton, Slick Willie? That guy was smooth. He was, well, that's true. Almost too vibrant. And yeah, well, it's all those bimbo eruptions that Hillary was always cleaning up. So Bill's like this sick, frail guy. And we haven't heard a thing about it. Right? Not a thing. I mean, well, speculation. I promise you, there is a strong chance that Bill is going to come. They're going to make an announcement close to the election that Bill has some bad, incurable disease. And it's going to be you've got to understand that the Clintons are shameless. These guys, you could catalog all of their political shenanigans going back 30 years. They will do anything. And they're will. Yes, they would use Bill Clinton's disease easily as a campaign ruse. And I think they're going to put it out there. I think they're going to put it out there. And what does it do? Well, first of all, it's going to neuter a little bit or take some of the edge off, theoretically at least, Trump attacking Bill Clinton's record, because Trump is going to go after Bill Clinton like no one else. And the Clintons are terrified of it. Hillary and her team, they're terrified of it. So what better to get Trump off of Bill Clinton than to have Clinton play the old sick guy? Nobody wants to go after the old sick guy, right? And then the other thing is, you know, their relationship is so messed up. I mean, is there any other word for it? I mean, here, Hillary, instead of drinking lemonade, is out there cleaning up every single one of Bill's affairs and paying off all of his bimbos, right? All the girls, all of his victims. And they're going to tie all that together. So that's my theory, at least. Hillary tweeted something that I think, well, I don't think you guys picked up on this, but I'm gonna tell you right after the break. It's crazy. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC. Yeah, so this whole strategy, this theory I have about what Hillary's going to do vis-a-vis Bill Clinton, I think they're gonna drop some kind of news about Bill Clinton being very ill close to the election, or at least certainly once we move into the general election phase after the conventions. And it could be effective. It really could be. And I realized one of the reasons, I was confronted with this myself. So I was in San Francisco earlier this week, taking a deposition of a defendant on a case that I'm handling. And the defendant in this particular matter is a 92-year-old veteran, a World War II vet. So deposition, in case you don't know, this is an opportunity to ask questions under oath before you get to trial. And if you're an attorney, a deposition is very important because you get to ask a lot of questions that you just don't know the answer to. You can go fishing. So if you watch Perry Mason and he says, never ask a question that you don't know the answer to. And you sit there as a television viewer and you're scratching your chin, go, well, how does he know all the answers to those questions? Well, chances are that at some point questions were asked before in a deposition under oath. Okay. So there I am, I'm sitting, I'm asking this guy questions, and I've got a videotape rolling. I've got to be really nice to him. Now, he's a lying sack of you know what, because he's lying through his teeth. But he's an old guy, and you can't treat him the way you would another person. And it's because we do respect our elders. We ought to certainly respect our elders. I'm big on that. And I think this is where lawyering gets a little bit. This is my opinion. Lawyering is fun, but there's certain lawyers out there who are all one temperature. You know, let's say they're aggressive. Now you have an aggressive attorney, and all he does is just be aggressive, and it's okay, except certain situations require you to maybe be nice, and you can get farther by being nice. And I think. You know, I think as I look back on it, there's nothing to be gained. There's nothing to be gained by being an ass. And I have to, you know, if ever this deposition, any part of it gets shown to the jury, I don't want to be that guy that's berating the old sick guy. I can't be that guy. And so I had to take a different tact. And that's exactly what Hillary would be playing on here by dropping the whole Bill Clinton sick thing. Because you know Trump's going to go after her. I'm telling you, Trump will go after those two vigorously. Vigorously. He already did. They got a taste of it. It's like he pre-nuked them. So and I tell you, the taste that Trump left over there in the Clinton camp can't be a good one. Because I have never I came of age under Bill Clinton. Robbie did too, right? You know, Slick Willie, the guy got away with murder because no one challenged him on it. And all of a sudden Trump comes in there and goes boom, boom, boom. And the Clintons are shaking in their boots. Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, and anyone, yeah, it is what it is. Robbie and I remember those years. So, where are we at? Hillary tweets something that just shows what a stupid panderer she is. That's the takeaway from it. What's the tweet? Okay, the tweet is, women earn just 79 cents for every $1 men do. That's a problem for all of us. Okay, so I'm telling you, she's going to drop the my husband is sick card. But that's right after she's busy dropping the I'm a woman card. Cheap pandering for the women vote. What do you think? I mean, I'm not a woman, but I'm instinctively offended by this because it assumes that I'm stupid. I always, whenever you hear a statistic, the first thing you think of is like, where did these numbers come from? And these numbers come from it's the median income of all working women and the median income of all working men. And there is this phenomenon that occurs out there called kids. And while in some homes, women continue working and men stay home, it is more common for women to stay home and drop out in some form or fashion, drop out of the workforce. Well, now, what about that? Should that be represented in the statistic? I think it needs to be accounted for, and it's not. And the reason being is the statistic says employers or corporate America, whatever you want to call it, employers are inherently sexist. They discriminate against women. They pay women less. Because, you hear Elizabeth Warren and Hillary Clinton, all these people banging on about how, equal pay for equal work, equal pay for equal. That's what you hear. And they cite this statistic. But think about this. There's another statistic out there which confirms why this is bullcrap. And it's what happens before kids, right? That's my question. That's where my mind goes. What happens before kids? And if you take a group of single working men and single working women and compare them, what happens? What do you think? Think it's equal? I think men are a little bit ahead, maybe not 30, 40% ahead, but a little bit ahead. What do you think? Well, the statistic took, the study took 22 to 30 year olds that are reporting an income without any dependents. So you can infer then that they're either single or they're married, but again, they don't have any kids. And in that group, 22 to 30, guess who is ahead? Women. Women, that's right. And by 8%, women in that group out-earn men by 8%. So what's the takeaway there? It's the same takeaway that everybody on Twitter, Twitter nearly melted down over that tweet because everybody thought what Hillary wrote was stupid. People instinctively know that because they work in places where their boss is a woman, or where they have a coworker that's a woman. And you know what? The woman is making as much, if not more, money. I mean, people know this. They live and breathe inside. Do you think? I don't know. I've got a question for you. Do you think that Hillary would have gotten more for those Goldman Sachs speeches if she were a man? Now, it's a serious question. Well, I mean, $50,000 a speech. Do you think she maybe got some? I Well, you know why? She's pissed because Bill Clinton would make three or four times as much as she would for a speech. I tell you, it's all personal for that lady. But the reality is that, you know, Hillary giving a speech is a total snooze fest. I mean, the only time that's worth really looking at Hillary, it's a snooze fest. The only time Hillary was ever interesting listening to was when she was giving that Benghazi hearing, and she started barking at the senators there, telling them that what difference does it make? You know, people died. It doesn't matter why. It just matters that they. Well, actually, Madam Secretary, it does matter. Everybody knows the reason Bill Clinton got paid more for those speeches is because he's better at giving speeches. Was Bill Clinton in his prime? And I'm not talking about sick, about to die Bill, but I'm talking about Bill Clinton in his prime. The guy is a great orator. Hillary doesn't compare by any stretch of the imagination. So you get paid per. This is America. I rail against this all the time because I think we need to stick with being a meritocracy, which is a big fancy word for saying we ought to reward people for the work that they do, irrespective of anything else. You are rewarded based on your contribution. And the marketplace levels out these things. If you're a business and maybe you're not like Facebook, you know, where you're cutting out conservative stories because you care more about pushing conservative ideas underground than you do about your own profit. Most businesses, I know you're a Bernie Sanders voter if you're listening. I know you're a complete idiot when it comes to the economy, but I'm going to share something with you. Business owners are all about obscene profit. That's what they are about. That's it. And as part of that, if they've got a position to fill, they're going to fill it with the person that's going to make them the most money. And the calculus that goes into that isn't, oh, it's a woman, I can pay her less. It's, oh, I want to hire somebody who's going to make me the most money. I want to get the most return on that person. And that's why women across the U.S. get hired into great jobs, because they just... We're living in an evolved place. And everybody on Twitter knows it. So the joke's on, you know, the joke's on Hillary. It's crazy. Yeah. Equal work for equal pay. It's a total myth. And you're going to hear a lot about it this election cycle. You're going to hear a lot about it. And every time you hear it, chuckle. And remember this segment where we talked about this, because it's just a total and complete myth. Okay, it's been a great show. I'm going to be back here tomorrow. So tune in 6 p.m. tomorrow, Sunday night. And we got to tackle the minimum wage. We're going to talk about the minimum wage a bit. And I'll tell you this. Yes, we're going to talk about all the people that are leaving the country, are going to leave the country for Canada, and that there is actually a dating site. Well, I'll tease it, just that. It's a dating site, involves moving to Canada, and we'll have a full report for you tomorrow. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC.